morning. Good morning. I'd like to thank everyone for being here. We're going to look at the subject of evangelization today. And the question we are going to ask is God calling me, is God calling you, is God calling us to evangelization? Are we called to get away from the TV and get out of our homes and work for the transformation of the world? It's a big question. It's an important question. Because there's so much talk today about evangelization and now the new evangelization, maybe we take it for granted what evangelization truly is. You might say, I know what evangelization is. It's telling people about Jesus Christ, about the gospel. Well, yes, you would be right. But I would challenge you, if that's the case, have you been doing any evangelization lately? How many times in the last week have you really told someone about Jesus? I know. Evangelization is something that Catholics generally aren't very good at. It's something that we all need to work on. It's okay. That's why we're here discussing this topic. So what is it? What is evangelization? Pope Paul VI, writing in Evangelization in the Modern World, said of evangelization, "It is certainly not easy to express in a complete synthesis the meaning, the content, and the modes of evangelization. The attempt to make such a synthesis will never end." What is he saying here? I think he's explaining that in each age, evangelization may take on different forms as the Holy Spirit adapts to the needs and challenges of changing society. Well, that might explain why we have such difficulty defining it. So back to our first question. Are we called to evangelize? What's the Holy Father say? He states that evangelization is in fact the grace and vocation proper to the church, her deepest identity. She exists in order to evangelize, that is to say, in order to preach and teach, to be the channel of the gift of grace. Let me repeat that. Evangelization is in fact the grace and vocation proper to the church. So are we called to evangelize? There's your answer. The Holy Father states that evangelization is in fact the grace and vocation proper to the church, her deepest identity. She exists in order to evangelize. Well, aren't you and I members of this church, this body of Christ? Well, you might say the Holy Father certainly does not mean me. He means priests and nuns, right? Wrong. Lumen Gentium, speaking of us, the laity, says, "These faithful are by baptism made one body with Christ and are constituted among the people of God. They are in their own way made sharers in the priestly, prophetical, and kingly functions of Christ. And they carry out for their own part the mission of the whole Christian people in the church and in the world." Reflect on that for just a moment. We are, in our own way, made sharers in the priestly, prophetical, and kingly functions of Christ. And we carry out for our own part the mission of the whole Christian people in the church and in the world. It goes on. "They are by reason of their particular vocation especially ordained to the sacred ministry." So are you and I called to evangelization? Absolutely. But you might say, the world has fallen to pieces. Society is crumbling. Morality is falling apart. Christian ideals are lost. What is the point? Isn't it more practical to take my family and retreat? Just stick to our homes and our parishes? Well, sure, that would be easier. But is that what you are called to do? Well, sure, there's a time for that. There's a time for that. We Christians call that period of time formation. But unless you are a new Christian preparing to receive the sacraments, or new to a particular vocation, this probably doesn't describe you. Why? Well, look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament marks a period of formation for the people of God. He was transforming a rebellious group into what would, in the age of the New Covenant, become His church. This period of time is characterized by God setting His people apart, calling them into the desert, keeping them isolated to some degree from the other nations and their pagan influences. Why? Because they were not strong enough to resist the temptations to fall into idolatry. They struggled enough to follow the precepts of the law given to them by Moses. Does that describe us? Are we too weak to resist the temptations of the culture? Reflect on that. Are we too weak to resist the temptations of the culture? Because, as you know, it happened that the Holy Spirit fell down upon the apostles, and they were filled with the presence of God. This was a game changer. Pentecost was a game changer. Now filled with God's Spirit, they were commanded to go out into the pagan world and evangelize. For the first time since the Garden of Eden, God had the confidence that they were not only strong enough to resist the temptations of the culture, they were strong enough to influence and transform the culture. They were strong enough to influence and transform the culture. Does that describe us? Are we strong enough to influence and transform the culture? We should be. We have the same Holy Spirit they had. That is evangelization. Influence and transform the culture. That is evangelization. That is what we are called to do. Think for a moment of all the corporations and institutions out there. They know this. They use this. They just don't call it evangelization. They call it marketing. Music, media, fashion, food. If they can understand this concept and they can use it to direct the movements of our youth, why can't we Christians who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit do it? Because we too are too busy being led and directed by these corporations. We are being evangelized by them. We are being formed by them. Consider this. God created us to receive His love. What are you receiving? Who are you receiving it from? If the answer to that question is that you are receiving entertainment nightly from the networks, I would challenge you to receive something else from someone else. Think long and hard about that the next time you sit down in front of the TV. Think about turning it off and coming here and sitting in front of that tabernacle instead. Be influenced from Him, not from the culture. Receive from Him, not from the culture. God also created us to give His love. What are you giving? I know for myself, most of my life I wasn't given anything. I was just consuming. Things changed for me when I realized that God was calling me to something much more profound than sitcoms, fast food, and soft drinks. He has called me, He has called you, He has called all of us for evangelization. For evangelization. So you might ask, what does evangelization look like? How do I know when I'm doing it? Well, it comes in many appearances, many modes. Sure, it can look like St. Dominic preaching and teaching. It can also look like Mother Teresa caring for the sick. It can look like a sidewalk counselor engaging a scared mother. It can also look like a father fishing with his son. Whatever it looks like, it should always start here, in front of this tabernacle, in front of this altar, where we receive our inspiration, where we receive his love. Then we go out to the world and give that love to those lost souls who are aimlessly following the guidance of the culture. That's what Christ did. He would venture off alone to the mountaintops to be with the Father. Only then would he engage in evangelization. What did his evangelization look like? Back to evangelization in the modern world. Pope Paul VI describes essential aspects of Christ's evangelical work. He says that when Christ engaged in evangelization, he first of all proclaims a kingdom, the kingdom of God. He says, the Lord will delight in describing many ways the happiness of belonging to this kingdom. A paradoxical happiness, which is made up of things that the world rejects. Let that sink in for just a moment. Happiness of belonging to this kingdom. A paradoxical happiness, which is made up of things that the world rejects. Those words teach us that our mission demands that we be countercultural, that we proclaim to the world a happiness that contradicts everything they are being fed in the media. Pope Paul continues, saying that the next essential aspect of Christ's evangelical ministry is the proclamation of salvation. He states, this great gift from God, which is liberation from everything that opposes man, but which is above all liberation from sin and the evil one, it is in the joy of knowing God and being known by him. In the joy of knowing God and being known by him. The Pope continues saying that Christ's ministry proclaimed that this kingdom and this salvation are available to every human being as grace and mercy. The Pope characterizes Christ's evangelical ministry, saying that he accomplished this proclamation of the kingdom through the untiring preaching of a word which, it will be said, has no equal elsewhere, and that he also carried out this proclamation by innumerable signs which amaze the crowds and at the same time draw them to him in order to see him, listen to him, and allow themselves to be transformed by him. So we have in Christ the model and example of our own evangelical ministry. Like Christ, we are to preach and teach the kingdom of God, the salvation in Christ, and that this kingdom and this salvation are available to all. Furthermore, like Christ, we are to work tirelessly in this evangelical ministry, bringing Christ to each and every person we meet, to draw them to him in order to see him, to listen to him, and to be transformed by him. So I challenge each and every one to prayerfully consider your own vocation of evangelization. Ask yourself, whose life could you change if only you would follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit and use the gifts that you were given in confirmation? Whose life would be transformed? Who is that person that God has brought to you? Take that first step out of the boat, for Christ is calling you to be a fisher of men. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you, we bless you, we glorify you. We pray that you will reveal to each of us our unique vocation of evangelization. Show us how each of us can best bring the light of Christ to others in our world. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit in us and equip us that we may not be transformed by the culture, but rather we can transform the culture for you. Give us the grace to preach tirelessly the kingdom and the salvation that you have prepared for everyone. We ask this in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, everybody.